Well, good morning, everyone. I decided to come down here and be closer to you all as opposed to the high pulpit. Thank you for being here, and a very special and warm welcome to each and every one of you as we gather for another year of theological reflection. This year, our series will focus on the seven sacraments revisited in this quasi-post-pandemic world, their importance in the life of a faithful Catholic, the building blocks, if you will, for the spirituality of a faithful Catholic. Inter alia, references will be made both to part two of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and my own book on the sacraments. The title of this first reflection is Sacraments, Transforming Encounters with Christ. The second section of the Catechism, a section entitled The Celebration of the Christian Mysteries, treats the sacramental and liturgical life of the Church. It explains how God's salvation, accomplished once and for all through Jesus in the Holy Spirit, is made present, is prolonged in time and space, our time and space, in the sacred actions of the Church's liturgy, especially the seven sacraments. So it's prolonged in the seven sacraments, which we'll talk about today. The liturgy and the sacraments of the Church enable each one of us to become a real part in God's plan to save the world, to draw life from the risen Lord, with each and every sacramental encounter, a life which continues to transform and change us and make us concrete icons of the Lord Jesus for the world to see. So these sacraments have a transforming effect, which make us concrete icons of the Lord Jesus for the world to see. Recently, Pope Francis, in his apostolic letter, Desiderio Desideravi, said it recently so distinctly, and I quote the Pope. He said, the salvific power of the sacrifice of Jesus, his every word, his every gesture, his every glance and feeling reaches us through the celebration of the sacraments. I repeat that, it's from Desiderio Desideravi, where he said the salvific power, as power that leads to our salvation, of the sacrifice of Jesus, his every word, his every gesture, his every glance and feeling reaches us through the celebration of the sacraments. As you can see, the teaching we will study is concrete and not just theoretical. Hopefully, it will answer or raise questions that you might have. Now, in my 38th year of priesthood, I've come to appreciate more and more the Catechism's statement that the sacred liturgy itself does not exhaust the entire activity of the Church. It must be preceded by evangelization, faith, and conversion. I'm sure it is no surprise to you that so many of our Catholic people fail to understand the rich and life-giving meaning of the sacraments, of the Church's liturgy, often through no fault of their own, especially in this time when many people have been away from the sacraments because of pandemic fears and for other reasons. I will always remember a couple that I helped prepare for marriage early on in my priesthood, some 30 years ago. In our first session together, before talking about the sacrament of marriage, I asked them what I thought would be a more fundamental and basic question. My question was simply, what is a sacrament? Surprisingly, and to my chagrin, the best answer I could get was, a sacrament is a gift of God. When I said that so was good weather a gift of God, I was met by blank stares. Collectively, Wood could only name four of the seven sacraments. They both had gone to Catholic grade schools, high schools, and even excellent Catholic colleges. I know that this experience of mine, regrettably, is symbolic of a wider phenomenon in the church than and especially now. What is more problematic is that the seven sacraments are uniquely Catholic. In fact, they truly and actually help define us precisely as Catholics, the seven sacraments. Is it then any surprise to see the discouraging results of polls of the number of Catholics who fail to attend Sunday Mass each Sunday? Some polls pre-pandemic have reported that only 25 to 30% do. The number has to be higher in our time. Citing the Code of Canon Law, the Catechism states, "The Church obliges the faithful to take part in the Divine Liturgy on Sunday and feast days," Catechism 1389. Sunday worship makes it possible to live our faith in community, especially in parish community. Or that the sacrament of penance has dropped off considerably in the church since the Second Vatican Council, although there are signs of movement now in the right direction. Or that there are those who, for sure, who fail to consider before receiving Holy Communion whether they are worthy to receive the body and blood of Jesus, whether they must first receive the sacrament of penance. This is fundamental Catholic teaching. The Catechism teaches that anyone who is conscious of a grave sin must receive the sacrament of reconciliation before coming to communion. Or that many Catholics in their 20s and 30s have not received the sacrament of confirmation. The Catechism clearly teaches confirmation is necessary for the completion of the baptismal grace. Together, baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist constitute the sacraments of Christian initiation. Since the three form a unity, without confirmation and the Eucharist, baptism is certainly valid and efficacious, but Christian initiation remains incomplete. Or that it is often unknown that the anointing of the sick, what used to be called extreme unction, or the last rites, is not a sacrament for those only who are at the point of death. It is available for those who are seriously sick or prior to a serious operation. Much education about this beautiful healing sacrament is truly needed in our day. It's a beautiful sacrament and can give recipients strength and confidence, for example, in going into an operation. Or that parents often delay in having a child baptized using the so-called argument that we will wait to allow the child to decide what faith he or she chooses to have. The Catechism states the church and the parents would deny a child the priceless grace of becoming a child of God when they are not to confer baptism shortly after birth. It's not meant to be a negative talk. It's just putting the facts out. Now, I'm sure that each of you and each one of your family members knows the definition of a sacrament. I was taught at the hands of the sisters and never forgot it. Maybe you have too. A sacrament, say it with me, is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Or as the Catechism states, the sacraments are efficacious signs of grace instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church by which divine life is dispensed to us. I would ask you to do me a favor. Would you kindly commit to remember that definition? The one the sisters taught would be a little easier. If you do not know the first, it's the only formula that I will ask you to memorize this year. A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Sisters, is that correct? They're still teaching that, huh? Good. In the months ahead, emphasis will be on the unique aspects of each of the individual sacraments. In the time remaining today, I wish to emphasize what is common to all the sacraments, a celebration of the Paschal or Easter mystery of Christ, of his dying and rising, and our encounter with him in each of the sacraments, each bringing with it some particular grace. To understand the concept of sacrament, it is important to understand the biblical roots. The word sacrament, or the Latin word sacramentum, was given by Tertullian around 108 AD. It's the Latin translation of the Greek word mysterion, mysterion. The word mysterion gives us a key to the richness of the sacramental and liturgical life. Commonly translated, mysterion means mystery. It's not a mystery in the sense of an Agatha Christie novel with complemented plots or clever ploys. St. Paul uses the word mysterion, mystery, from which the Latin word sacramentum derives 21 times. I was counting it this morning. In Ephesians 3:9, he refers to the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. In Ephesians 5:32, referring to marriage, he refers to it as the great mystery, the great mysterion. The word mystery refers to a work of God. The wonderful works of God among the people of the Old Testament were but a prelude to the work of Christ, the Lord, in redeeming mankind and giving perfect glory to God. He accomplishes this work principally by the Paschal mystery, the Easter mystery, of his blessed passion, resurrection from the dead, and glorious assumption. Resurrection and glorious ascension, whereby dying he destroyed our death, and rising he restored our life. The church celebrates in the liturgy, above all, the Paschal mystery by which Christ accomplished the work of salvation. We say Paschal, again, that means Easter, the Easter mystery, the dying and rising of Christ. That's what we're celebrating. This Easter mystery, this dying and rising, is a mystery because it is the action of God, a mystery gradually unveiled and revealed in Christ Jesus. This mystery is unveiled to those who have been called to and initiated in the faith, you and me. For those outside the faith, it is still a mystery. The liturgy, the sacramental life of the church, puts us in touch with the hidden, inner, mysterious life of God revealed in the words and deeds of Jesus, most fully in the Paschal or Easter mystery, his death and resurrection. Liturgy from the Greek litergos means public work. In our context, it means our participation in the work of God, principally in his Paschal mystery. Liturgy is the work of the entire Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At every liturgy, the action of worship is directed to the Father, from whom all blessings come, through the Son, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. It's a Trinitarian event. Although the entire body of Christ celebrates the liturgy within the assembly, the ordained priest has a unique function of service. It would be a mistake to consider the seven sacraments those primary liturgical moments in our lives as Catholics as isolated events with no link to each other or no link to Christ and his church. Pope Francis recently wrote, "The Lord Jesus, who does no more, who lives forever with the signs of the Passion, continues to pardon us, to heal us, to save us with the power of the sacraments. the concrete way by means of this incarnation that he loves us. So in the sacraments, Christ is still operative in the power of the Holy Spirit. The seven sacraments are various aspects of the one Paschal or Easter mystery. So see them as parts of that one mystery of the dying and rising of Jesus. They each in their own way are a prolongation in time and space of the unique mystery of Jesus Christ, above all his passion, death, and resurrection, all out of love for us. Through the liturgy, through the sacraments, Christ himself and all he did to save us is rendered present, most especially in the Paschal mystery. Each sacramental encounter brings us in touch with the living and risen Jesus Christ, an encounter which significantly changes and transforms us, that is, gives us grace. It is God's unique vehicle for reaching and changing you and me in our day. The Catechism emphasizes that for believers, the sacraments are necessary for salvation. At the same time, even though God works primarily through the sacraments, he also touches us through the community of the church, through the lives of holy people like your own, through prayer and spirituality and acts of love. Christian liturgy not only recalls the events that saved us, but actualizes them, makes them present and real. The Paschal mystery of Christ is celebrated, not repeated. He did this once for all when he offered us up himself, Hebrews 7:27. It is the celebrations that are repeated, and in each celebration, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that makes the unique mystery present. For example, every time we celebrate liturgy together. The whole liturgical life of the church revolves around the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Mass and the other sacraments. Sacraments are powers that come from the body of Christ, which is ever-living and life-giving. They are the actions of the Holy Spirit at work in his body, the church. They are masterworks of God in the new and everlasting covenant. In Pope Benedict's excellent book entitled Jesus of Nazareth, it's really a book to get, he asks a perceptive question at the outset. What did Jesus actually bring us? He states, the answer is very simple. He brings us God. At the end of the book, he states that man needs one thing. He says he needs God. He states he needs God. In the sacraments, each of us encounters God. Moreover, we uniquely encounter the transforming power of God, of Jesus Christ. To this end, I invite you to contemplate the beautiful fresco at the beginning of part two of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's the section on the Catechism, the whole section, part two. The early Christian depiction of the woman suffering from a hemorrhage who is healed by contact with Jesus' robe. A robe serves as a symbol of the sacramental life of the church. She held on to the robe of Jesus and she was healed of her hemorrhage. It's power coming out from him is what the sacraments are. To understand this passage more fully, remember that a person with a hemorrhage was considered unclean, separated from the faith. By her healing, she became clean and reunited to the faith. So too, the sacraments heal, cleanse, and unite us to the holy body of Christ. They continue in our own day the works that Christ had performed during his earthly life. The sacraments are, as it were, powers that go forth from from the body of Christ to heal the wounds of sin, to give us new life of Christ. Jesus' words and actions during his hidden life and public ministry were already salvific, for they anticipated the power of the Easter mystery. The sacraments uniquely bring us God. In conclusion, I wish to review the seven sacraments from a very specific angle. Later meditations will expand our understanding of the individual sacraments. See how each of them brings us in touch with the living and risen Jesus, the Jesus who died and rose out of love for us. How each one of them brings us, even now, in our day, into the Paschal or to the Easter mystery, the dying and rising experience, the Paschal event accomplished by Jesus out of love for our salvation. They are transforming encounters. This is our precious Catholic faith, lived pre and post pandemic. The sacraments, moreover, are not isolated events. They are part of one central mystery, Mysterion, Sacramentum, his Paschal mystery. It's our sharing in different ways in the dying and rising of Jesus in our day. Each sacrament is our transformative share in the dying and rising experience of Jesus, which is essential for our salvation. Baptism. The person baptized belongs no longer to himself, but to him who died and rose for us, Catechism 1269. The baptized becomes forever a member of the living body of the risen Christ. Confirmation. The person receives the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which is the Easter gift given on Pentecost, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, and we call it the permanent gift of Easter. Eucharist, it's the sacrament of sacraments, the memorial, the rendering present of the dying and rising of Christ, the sacrament which strengthens our union, our communion with the risen Christ. It's a growth in the grace of baptism that makes possible the growth in the Christian life, a sacrament that should be received often, for sure, each and every Sunday. Penance. It is a dying to sin, and in the words of the Catechism, a spiritual resurrection. Why? It restores us to the life of the risen Lord. Yes, death to sin, healing and reconciliation, a sacrament available often. And I'll be hearing this penance after this talk until Mass time. Anointing. This is one that I've come as a parish priest to appreciate more and more, particularly here, where many people are close to death or dying or going for operations. It's a very healing and beautiful sacrament. By the grace of this sacrament, the sick person receives the strength and the gift of uniting himself more closely to Christ's passion. In a certain way, he is consecrated to bear fruit by configuration to Christ's redemptive sacrament. It's a linkage to the sacrament of Christ, his redemptive passion. There's a particular gift of the Holy Spirit, peace, the courage to overcome difficulties of serious illness. Holy orders, in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, the priest acts as a representative of Christ, head of the church. He is a vessel for Christ. He acts in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. The priest is configured to Christ by special grace of the Holy Spirit, the Easter gift to serve as Christ. The ordained priesthood guarantees it really is Christ who acts in the sacraments through the Holy Spirit for the church. Marriage. Christ enters into a special covenant with a man and woman who become a married couple. Christ dwells with them, gives them the strength to take up their crosses and so follow him. to rise again after they have fallen, to forgive one another, to bear one another's burdens. This encounter with Christ, being married into Christ, enables couples, moreover, to give to each other the same kind of total and free and selfless love that characterized Christ's love on the cross for us, a deep sharing in the Paschal mystery. Referring to marriage as the great sacrament, or the great mystery, mysterion, St. Paul perceptively refers to it, the love between a man and a woman, as that loving relation of Christ and the Church. Beautiful theology behind the sacrament of marriage, which we will explore. Each of these sacraments, then, has significant consequences for the Christian life, how we lead our lives as followers of Jesus in our day. The saving grace of the dying and rising of Christ are communicated to us in the sacraments so that we might live more perfectly Christ's truth and virtues such as love, justice, mercy, and compassion. My dear friends, thanks for being here today in this inaugural lecture. The November meditation, November 3, is entitled Baptism, the Gateway to the Christian Life. It focuses on this first and inaugural sacrament. And then we will continue each month until June with the different sacraments. I have for you here some the schedule of the sacraments. You want to turn this off for a second?